ABC Radio Canberra.
Yeah, let's talk about this statistic that's come out today. One in four children are starting school in Australia with a speech or a language delay. It seems incredibly high. Catherine McKinley is the president of Speech Pathology Australia. Hello, welcome, Catherine.
Hello, Renee. Thank you for having me on your program.
Is it worse today than it has been in years before, or are we diagnosing more students, or what explains this incredibly high number, one in four students starting school with a speech or language delay?
Yeah, unfortunately, we have seen that increase slowly over time. It was sitting at about one in five, and now it's sitting at one in four. Which is concerning and not heading in the right direction, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We don't always know the reason why children experience delays with their speech and language. It can be due to a range of different factors. So it could be genetics or a family history of speech or language difficulties, or it could also be a sign of a different diagnosis. So speech, language and communication is influenced by a range of biological, environmental and social factors.
Sure. But, I mean, some things are quite simple, like an ear infection that can be cleared up. Some things are very complicated, like cognitive impairment.
Yes, and so all of those things can impact on a child's ability to understand what's happening in their environment and then be able to, you know, express the needs and wants and also, you know, develop the speech sounds as well.
Now, a lot of parents will think, look, my child was late speaking, but that's okay. They're late with lots of milestones. They will eventually catch up. What is wrong with that thinking?
Yeah, look, we've heard sometimes that, you know, parents might think that something's not quite right and they're not sure what to do, and they might take that wait and see approach or they might not even be sure that it is a speech pathologist that they need to see. But because we know that the birth to 5 years is such a critical window for a child's development, that wait and see approach around if they're a bit delayed is probably not the right one because we know how successful early intervention is. So, you know, I would always encourage, you know, parents and families, if you're unsure and your child is not meeting those speech and language milestones, that you go and seek the advice of a speech pathologist.
Now, here's the real problem. When it comes to those words, go and seek the advice of a speech and language pathologist. We know, Catherine McKinley, that there is such a shortage of speech pathologists across the country, particularly in rural and regional areas, and the wait lists to see a community speech pathologist are up to 2 years. Why, if we have data like this, one in four children starting school with a speech, not making the speech sounds of the language properly, or a language delay, not understanding the language, why don't we have a speech pathologist in every school, in every primary school across the country?
Oh, we would love to see speech pathologists embedded in early education settings, including primary school, but also in preschools and kindergartens. You know, it's speech pathologists who can, you know, assess and diagnose speech and language difficulties and then support that child in that environment. So creating that language-rich environment that benefits children. They can also support educators to continue to build children's language and literacy capacity. So we would love to see speech pathologists embedded into those services where children play and learn.
In Victoria, there is a speech pathologist in most schools, is there not?
There is access to speech pathologists in schools, but it's really varied across the different sectors. So whether it's Catholic, government or independent sectors, and often, you know, they see the most severe children or the children with the most severe language and speech difficulties. So they're not you know, embedded into all the classrooms and working alongside teachers. So we'd really love to see that take off and for there to be a national approach. At the moment, there is not a national approach to how speech pathologists are embedded into education settings, whether they're preschool or primary school.
We've spoken about the number of reasons for why young little kids, you know, are not picking up the sounds of speech or developing their language. But speech pathology, it does work.
It does work.
And the earlier you intervene, the research is quite clear, the better.
Yes, we know that early intervention makes a difference. And, you know, so delaying that, you know, can have an impact on a child's, you know, ongoing learning and development throughout the primary school years and into adolescence and adulthood. So intervening early, you know, works best, and therefore that we have this critical window where we need to be doing more. But as we've talked about, access is a challenge. So not only is access to a speech pathologist challenging in some areas, particularly rural and regional, we know that there are longer waiting lists in some areas, and also longer waiting lists for public speech pathology services as well. But access to funding is also a challenge. So we would love to, you know, we would love to see an Australia where every child can access the right support at the right time so they can, you know, meet their communication goals.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, an Australia where there are more speech pathologists trained and more of them available right across the school system, right across the country. There are things that parents can do today, though, to help their children. And I would suggest one is to put the screens away. I mean, parents might say, oh, but the screen time is kind of educational. They're hearing language via the, you know, the particular programs they're watching.
Yeah, look, I think the screen time discussion often comes into this, and where would we be without programs like Play School and the like? But I do think it is about how you use screens with your child and how you're interacting. So a bit of screen is okay, but it is about how you use it. So that, you know, children learn best around modelling and that interaction. That's why books are so good, because you can talk about the stories and model that language and have some interaction. So so screens can be good, but it is around how you use it and how you're interacting with, you know, with your child with a screen.
Yeah.
Or a book or whatever activity. So kids learn best around play and how we model and how we, yeah, and how we connect with them.
Catherine McKinley, have we got to a point where parents, now Bruce suggests this on the text line, he says parents just give the phone to their little kids to keep them quiet. Often it's not about just entertaining them, it's about keeping them quiet so the parents can get on and do their work or get about their business. Is that a problem as far as you see it?
Well, I mean, as a speech pathologist, I never really want to keep a child quiet. So that interacting with your child is so critical. Having those conversations, modelling vocabulary, modelling, you know, short phrases and sentences. And so I think it, you know, and I've done it myself. You know, given my phone or an iPad to my child, but that doesn't replace the need to. To interact, you know, with your child and create that language rich environment for them so that they can continue to, you know, develop up their vocab and language and speech as well.
Okay, a lot of people listening will be thinking, well, we're a bilingual family. Should I forget speaking our language from another country, from where we've come from, and only speak Australian English to my child to give them the best chance?
Absolutely not. So we would, you know, strongly encourage bilingual families to expose their children to both languages. That's really important, especially in growing a multicultural Australia. What we do see is with children who are bilingual, they might be slower across both languages because they're developing two languages at the one time. However, in saying that, If a parent has concerns in a particular language or things look like they're slower than they should be, then again, I would say, reach out to a speech pathologist. There's a list of speech pathologists, and you can search for one on the Speech Pathology Australia website. And you can also look at sort of those milestones and what children should be typically achieving at different ages from birth through to 5 years.
Yeah. One access point might be through universities. I know there are a number of universities that have speech pathology courses where they're training students, and that may be a way to access a student speech pathologist who's learning.
Yes. Yes, there are lots of many universities provide student clinics or student-led clinics that are supervised by a trained, qualified speech pathologist, and so that can be one way for parents to access services that are often a bit cheaper than private speech pathology services. So certainly that's one avenue that parents can look into, particularly if affordability or waiting lists is a challenge for them.
Yeah, but the takeout really is provide as much as you can a language-rich environment where you are interacting with your child as much as you can throughout the day. We're out of time, Catherine McKinley. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
No worries. Thanks, Renee.
Catherine McKinley is the president of Speech Pathology Australia. I'm Renee.